So listen, it is too close to call, so I'm just going to tell you what I do know.
So many questions about why things seem to have gone so wrong.
Some party officials say mobile app reporting issues caused the problem, so results are being hand-checked.
Anytime you launch a big, important process like this and you're not able to put results forward, it's a big failure.
They're doing quality control, looking for possible discrepancies.
We saw a lot of the campaigns really trying to spin the night in their favor.
We brought together an extraordinary coalition of Americans, progressives, moderates, and that good number of what we like to call future former Republicans.
Let's head to New Hampshire. Thank you, Iowa. I love you.
It's our lives. Gang, gang, it's our lives, America.
Our union is stronger than Donald Trump.
The first state in the country has voted. Today marks the beginning of the end for Donald Trump.
This is well beyond this, our party. This is about ending an era of, ending an era, God willing.
I'm Arun Venugopal, in for Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. After months of campaigning, the Iowa caucuses are finally over. Well, almost over. The Iowa Democratic Party says that due to inconsistencies in data, the results are delayed but could be released later today. Even with no results, many of the candidates believe they performed well, some even claiming victory before making their way to New Hampshire. So let's talk about it. Joining me from Iowa is Amy Walter, host of Politics with Amy Walter here on The Takeaway every Friday, and national editor of the Cook Political Report. So glad to have you on the line from Iowa, Amy.
Well, I am very glad to be here, although it's still very cold here.
Okay, so more than a few observers are calling this a debacle for Democrats. Does it feel that way to you?
Oh my gosh, yes. It's sort of beyond a debacle. This process that Democrats tinkered with, this caucus process, to be sure, it's already a somewhat complicated, anarchic, confusing process where people are publicly announcing who they're voting for in a community center or gym or church basement, and then counting by hand the other people who are voting for that candidate. And those numbers get sent into the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, and numbers are tabulated, results go out, and we move on. The fact that it is so opaque, and really considering the stakes for this process, right? The winner here can go on, claim victory, use that momentum in many cases to go on to win the nomination. The fact that this process now got more complicated by new rules meant that it is even more difficult to figure out what the actual numbers on election night looked like. And it may take days or more to clean it up.
Was there a moment yesterday when you suddenly realized that this was just a huge mess?
Yes, I think it was when we started to get reports that people who are in charge of each one of these precincts were trying to load an app where all the information was going to go, and then that app would go directly to the Democratic headquarters, was not working, that the phone lines that were set up as a backup also were kind of a mess. And we had heard reports, too, of just how within the rooms there was confusion about how the new rules were going to work. And so, you know, look, the fact that by 9 o'clock, 9:30 Central Time, and we still had no official results from any precincts was a really, really bad sign.
And regarding this new app that supposedly imploded, let me just read a brief excerpt from a New York Times article this morning titled, "A System-Wide Disaster, How the Iowa Caucuses Melted Down." Appropriately enough, It wasn't so much that the new app that the Iowa Democratic Party had planned to use to report its caucus results didn't work. It was that people were struggling to even log in or download it in the first place. I mean, this just seems to be kind of riddled with poor preparation and just an absolute lack of foresight. Am I right?
Yeah. And look, there had been questions from the very beginning from reporters, from party officials. We were there. Politics with Amy Walter team was here about a week and a half ago. We sat down with the Democratic Party chairman, asked him a lot of the questions that are being raised now about how this process is going to work and is it going to be smooth and how are you going to make sure and ensure that the results are fair and accurate. And well, here we are. Look, I think that the challenge all along has been for Iowa to keep its first in the process status. They cannot have a traditional primary. That is in literally the New Hampshire law that they go first. So they have sort of jerry-rigged a process that looks like a primary, but it's technically not a primary. So they get the status. Well, it worked, and it worked until it didn't work any longer. And the more attention that Iowa has gotten, the more questions got raised by reporters, candidates, and others about this caucus process. And so they tried to amend this, make it look fairer, more open. And again, one of the other rules that is sort of primary-like was to say, we're going to report not just how many delegates a candidate got, but for the very first time, how many actual votes they got. Think of it as the difference between the popular vote and the Electoral College vote, so that one candidate literally could claim they got the most votes, even though another candidate won the most delegates. And I think that made it even more difficult to handle. And Arun, you raised something that's also really important. These precincts, there are about 1,700 of them. They are not run by officials. This is not secretaries of state or election registrars who do this for a living. These are volunteers with the party who do this once every 4 years. So it makes it incredibly difficult to streamline this process. And think, too, of the kinds of places that you will be dealing with. A crowded caucus in a bigger city like Des Moines, or one where you may have internet issues out in rural Iowa. And so the warning signs were there all along. They were raised all along. And unfortunately for the Democratic Party, all those predictions came true.
What has the Iowa Democratic Party said following all this?
Yeah, well, at about 1 o'clock in the morning Central Time, they had a press call, which essentially clocked in at about 2 minutes, no questions. And essentially they said, we're working through this. We're going to make sure we get this right. We're double and triple checking. We're going to have numbers out sometime today, which is Tuesday. But it's really unclear what that will look like. If you go back to 2012, there was something similar to this on the Republican side. But at least at that point, Mitt Romney had been declared the winner by 34 votes at about 1:30 in the morning on caucus night in 2012. But questions were raised about some votes from certain precincts. They did an autopsy and a recount. And something like 2 weeks later, Rick Santorum was declared the winner. But by then, the circus had moved on. Mm. We were way beyond Iowa. And so I think what is ultimately going to happen is that New Hampshire will now get to be not just the first primary state, but will literally be the kickoff. And it's almost like we're starting from scratch in New Hampshire. And then from there, we move to the next process, which is Nevada.
So this morning at about 4:45, I wake up, look at my phone. And the first thing I think when I see this whole mess playing out is, oh, was this Russia?
Mm-hmm. You are raising a really important point, and I think we should all be very sobered by this. I mean, we can look at this and say the caucus process is already so confusing and, you know, don't read too much into this. But you can also look at this as a warning for what we can expect going into 2020 campaign, that with every questionable result on election night, There are going to be people tweeting things. There are going to be conspiracy theories lurking around the internet. There are going to be stories of, well, I was at a precinct in Wisconsin, and you know what happened? I saw 15 people illegally come and vote, right?
Yeah.
And so if where we are right now is the process isn't trusted, it's easy to sow discontent and conspiracies through social media. The media is, of course, been undermined in recent years as sort of the arbiter of all of this. It is definitely a very dangerous moment that we're in. And the idea that everyone will walk away on election night saying, okay, well, we had a good election, nice game, shake hands, get off the field, that seems really hard to believe, especially if we expect, as I do, that we're going to have another very, very close election in 2020 as we did in 2016.
And to the points that you've been raising, let's hear a voice message from one caucus goer in Iowa. Here's what he said his experience was like yesterday.
My name is Daniel Frana. I am a resident of Iowa City. So initially, I felt very hopeful. I was very happy with the results of our caucus. I was very proud to be a part of the democratic process. But then when I saw that the results of the caucus were in contest, it made me very upset because I feel like it's a way to try to make the whole thing feel illegitimate.
Illegitimate is mm-hmm. Daniel's a sentiment sort of, do you think he's representative of other people in Iowa?
Yeah, other people in Iowa and of course across the country. And the media narrative about what a disaster it was and getting more calls from caucus goers like Daniel is only going to feed into this concern. And so if I were a state election official, I would be doing absolutely everything in my power right now to, number one, ensure the security and sanctity of the voting process, but also to be open and transparent with the media right now about what it is they are doing and ensuring that they will do on election night or on their primary nights, you know, to keep the process from falling into question. And look, nothing else is like the Iowa caucus. So this is a uniquely challenging environment, to put it nicely, to get accurate results, especially when you put it under the microscope. I mean, the closer you look at the caucus, the more you see that this is really just rife with so many problems. But that doesn't mean that other states shouldn't take this as a very big warning sign for how easy it is when people don't have information to fill that vacuum with conspiracies, with rumor, and those things spread very, very quickly.
Amy Walter is the host of Politics with Amy Walter on The Takeaway and national editor of the Cook Political Report. Amy, thanks for joining us.
You're very welcome.